Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome to the second hour of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck here with Clay, side by side in Birmingham, Alabama.
My first ever time in the great state of Alabama. I've spent a lot of time in Georgia and Florida. Never been to Alabama before. This is my first go around here. A lot of time in Virginia, the Carolinas. This first timer here in Alabama, Clay. So far, the woman who checked me into my hotel was so nice and friendly that I had the embarrassing mistake of thinking that she knew who I was from radio. And she was just really nice. She was just really friendly. So that's my welcome to Alabama.
Living in New York City and being surrounded by people who don't agree with a lot of what you say on a day-to-day basis, I'm telling you, walking around in Tuscaloosa surrounded by Ole Miss and Alabama fans, you are going to be blown away by the degree of love that I think that they are going to show you. Not to mention, I mean, there's guys coming in and out of the studio that we're in Birmingham right now, and their faces just light up at the idea that you've never been to a college football game. And it's one thing if, like, we have my 11-year-old son, Lincoln, who has been to a lot of college football games. He's coming to the game with us. He's super excited he somehow ended up being an Alabama fan, which I'm not happy about, but I don't know. One day you'll have to make this decision, Buck, if you get involved in sports. It's how much do you press your kids to like the versus how much freedom do you give them to make their own choices? But he's a huge Alabama fan, and kids, people love to take kids around and show them the experience. But finding somebody like you who is effectively a college football virgin at 40, they're like, this is like,
whoa, first of all, 39. Let's not get crazy.
39 and three quarters.
Yeah. 39.
By the way, what are you doing for your 40th birthday? Have you decided?
I'm probably going to be on a beach somewhere alone reading a book, and I'll be just fine.
That's really what you're going to do for 40. Yeah,
I'm not a birthday party guy.
Is a big kind of life moment, right?
You know, like, I feel like I'll just be pina coladas somewhere quiet, you know, reading an old history book, and I'll be just fine. That's how I do
it. I don't dislike that idea of a way to celebrate 40, but I feel like for most people, it's a marker of some sort of significance.
Well, maybe now I'll be spurred on to do something amazing. But I also want to be telling everybody about the news of the day today when it comes to the U.S.-Mexico border. As you all know, I spent a fair amount of time at the border on the Texas and California border crossings. And this is now where the Biden administration is going to completely run out of room for spin. They already have, in a sense, because you're looking at the largest 1 year of apprehensions and illegal crossings at the U.S.-Mexico border in a very long time, over 20 years. July set the record, just so we're all clear, over 210,000 apprehensions. Now, remember, because people will try to muddy the waters on a lot of this stuff, when they talk about an apprehension, what that means is somebody has illegally crossed into the United States. That in itself is a violation of U.S. federal law. In fact, the physical act of stepping on U.S. soil across the international border is illegal. The way that then this gets conflated with the asylum process is people are supposed to show up at ports of entry and claim asylum there. But because ports of entry are either the backlog is too long, or they don't want to go through that process, they want to go through an overwhelmed makeshift port of entry like we had in Del Rio, they illegally cross in, they claim what is called defensive asylum or secondary asylum, where once Border Patrol, and I've been there when this happens, I've actually watched this process play out many times, Border Patrol walks up to them. They don't run, by the way. They're not trying to escape. They actually flag down Border Patrol. Sometimes they even say, like, where is my food? And, you know, I want you to bring me stuff, which you can imagine Border Patrol, which has also a national security mission and not just a humanitarian mission, feels a little bit like we're not a food delivery service. But that ends up happening where they have to get people, processed through. And you had 210,000, Clay, in July. Right now, and people have gamed the system, essentially. That's what we saw, the Haitian migrants who weren't coming from Haiti, very important, because that means they're not actually asylum seekers. And we already know that if you come from Chile, your country of asylum is Chile or Brazil. So you've got up to, this is the expectation now, 15 to 60,000 is the number you're seeing. So 60,000 on the high end, Haitian migrants currently on the way to the U.S.-Mexico border. when you add that into the expectations, because there's Border Patrol intelligence and they have sources that that tell them, generally partner countries south of our border, how many we should be expecting. Clay, up to 400,000 illegal immigrants are expected right now to cross into America, breaking U.S. law and sovereignty in the month of October alone. That may be the all-time record.
That's also a huge function, as we said it would be, of our response to the situation in Del Rio, Texas. Because the incentives that we applied and put in place have now told all of those people who are now in the United States, the vast majority of them, hey, text your friends, call your friends who are still back stuck in South America, and let them know what is going to happen when they get to the border, that they can enter into the United States. And that when they enter into the United States, they will be able to stay here, potentially, Buck, for the rest of their lives. Because how are we going to get all of these people, track them down, put them onto planes, send them back to Haiti or wherever else they have come from? The reality is, once they get here, especially if they're young, which many of them are, and they end up having children, most of them will be able to stay in the United States for the rest of their lives.
There are two magnets, in a sense, at work here. There's the laxness at the border. And just so everyone understands, right now, the Biden administration is in the process of ending the Title 42 authority that it has. Title 42 refers to the U.S. federal law, that there is a statute where essentially the CDC can, for purposes of protecting the American people during a pandemic, give authority under DHS to Border Patrol to tell people you can't come into the country. Biden administration hasn't been using that already against family units and unaccompanied minors. And they may stop using it altogether. That is the plan right now. You've already had a federal judge say that the Biden administration has, I think it's a 2-week deadline to stop using Title 42 authority. So they're going to kick the border more open. So, but there's the two parts of this, right? Three parts of this puzzle that everyone needs to understand as to why the numbers are going up so much. How easy is it to get into the United States? How easy is it to stay once you've crossed in illegally? And what are the chances that you're going to get a full-fledged legal amnesty once you're here? When you look at those three things, the Biden administration could not be more welcoming in its actions and in the reality than it currently is. And people see it, right? They are voting with their feet, in a sense, by showing up at the border. And that's why this is only going to continue to get worse. And I mean, the American people are not with the Democrat left on open borders. They're just not.
And every time a new caravan arrives and meets with success at the border, it pours gasoline on the idea of people coming to the border. And the people who are trying to cross here are not idiots. They see what the incentives are. They see what the response is of our border and of our president. And by the way, they started coming as soon as Joe Biden came into office and telling people that the reason they were doing, we got people showing up in Biden-Harris t-shirts. They believe that the incentive structure is aligned to encourage them to come into the country. And it is.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, what data points can the Biden administration present? They say things, right? Like Mayorkas, in his speech on the 20th of September, he said, "We have reiterated that our borders are not open. People should not make the dangerous journey. Individuals and families are subject to border restrictions, including expulsion." That's what he said. Okay, 60 to 70% of all the people who showed up as part of that caravan of Haitian migrants got into the country.
Yes.
So if your odds are, let's call it 7 out of 10 that you're going to get in, you're going to skip years of waiting the immigration process. You don't actually have to have a legitimate asylum claim. That's what matters to people who want to get into America illegally and stay here legally. The Biden administration can say what it wants all day. It's the actions that matter. And by the way, interior enforcement, Clay, is
non-existent.
They even said they were going to get rid of all expulsions from the country, all deportations for 100 days to start off the Biden administration. And that actually, the courts were like, you can't really go that far. But that's what they want to do.
And I want to just keep emphasizing the difference in a COVID era, because that's what the Democrats keep telling us, right? That the rules have to be different for COVID. 20% of people are testing positive that are coming across our border right now, which is a pretty massive number of people to have COVID. And Think about just people coming in to visit. Let's say you're in England right now and you've been waiting ever since the border got shut down in March to fly in here to visit your family. You have to either have a COVID vaccination, a negative test. These are people from England, for instance, who are just coming here to visit. Yet you can come across the border. Doesn't matter whether you're COVID positive or not. You certainly aren't required to get a vaccine. There's no requirement that you be COVID negative. You are released into the country. So under what justification? Again, I think this is a really fantastic question that would really be pressed on the Jen Psakis of the world. How can you justify a completely basically open southern border, irrespective of existing immigration law, just by applying the logic that they are utilizing to restrict people coming in for visits into the United States right now? You're not even applying that logic for people coming across the southern border, irrespective of all the illegal immigration law violations that are going on.
It is a reality in America today that if you live in, say, as I do, New York City, you could be a father who's about to walk his daughter down the aisle and told, sorry, sir, this, you know, very expensive wedding that you've paid for, you're not allowed to enter the venue because of New York City. They will block you from that. But if you show up at the U.S.-Mexico border and you say, hey, I know I've just crossed into your country illegally. I have no right to be here.
And I have COVID.
And you have COVID. They don't say, sorry, you're not allowed in. They say, okay, let's turn you over to an NGO. Let's give you a notice to appear, or even, you know, a notice to show up that nothing's going to happen if you don't show up, because we're not going to do any interior enforcement. That is the reality in America today. I mean, that's what people are. There's actually a separate set of rules they've set up for illegal aliens crossing the country, which I know now they want us all to say undocumented, which it's not even true. They have documents. They just don't have documents that say they're allowed to be in America.
And I think you have to talk about this also in the context of birthright citizenship, because once you get here and have a baby, that baby is a citizen as long as it occurs on United States soil. And then your chances of ever being forced out of the United States basically go to nearly zero, Buck.
Yeah. No, right? it's not going to happen.
From a functional perspective, once you have a baby, you are locked in here for this country for the rest of your life.
And the Biden administration's only hope here is they're going to try to downplay this as much as possible, turn it into it's always the humanitarian concern, which is why even with the Border Patrol agents and the alleged whipping story, it didn't happen. Everyone knows it didn't happen, but they still talked about it. And then the perception of what could have happened on horseback with Border Patrol agents became the story, even though it was a fable, a fantasy. They're going to turn it into a humanitarian story, because you're going to have a huge surge this month. And they are going to try to push again for how this is always the term. The system is broken. We need reform. By that, they mean amnesty. This is just the Obama administration replay all over again.
Unfortunately, this is also not 2022, because this would be, if it were October of 2022 right now, and you had 400,000 people pouring across the southern border.
Democrat wipeout. No question.
Complete and total.
Total wipeout in every competitive race right now is what would happen.
It wouldn't even be remotely close. I mean, it'd be the worst possible timing they could have.
Mike Lindell, folks, invented MyPillow, and Clay and I have been hooked up with all this gear. I got to tell you, last night I was in a nice, cozy hotel here in Birmingham, but I didn't have my MyPillows. I didn't have my Giza Dream sheets, and I didn't sleep as well, because thanks to Mike Lindell, I'm sleeping better than I ever have in my life. I've got the towel sets, the slippers, the robes, the mattress toppers, the Giza sheets. You know, Clay, next time I'm on the road, we're going to a college football game, I may have to bring the robes, the slippers. I might have to bring my Mike Lindell gear just so I can get a great night's sleep.
It's funny. I've been talking about that because I'm on the road all fall, and you stay in a hotel and you want it to be comfortable, and it's nowhere near as great. The Giza Dream Sheets aren't in these hotels, and I miss it. And right now you can get buy one, get one free, promo code Clay and Buck, multiple color, style, sizes, your choice. All MyPillow products, 60-day money-back guarantee. You can go to MyPillow.com, click on radio listener specials right now to get the Giza Dream Sheets. Buy one, get one free with the code Clay and Buck, or you can call 800-792-3269. That is 800-792-3269. Get to MyPillow.com right now, click on the radio listener specials, and get hooked up with Giza Dream Sheets. You'll be sleeping as comfortably as Buck and I do, thanks to that. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Encourage you to go download the podcast. Make sure you don't miss a minute. You can search out my name, Clay Travis. You can search out Buck. You can just type in Clay or Buck. iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher. anywhere you can find podcasts in the universe, we are there. If you're having trouble getting the most recent updated episodes, unsubscribe and resubscribe. I don't know what causes it, but there's been some funky business there. If you are a podcast listener, trust us, we are uploading these shows by hour 1, 2, and 3 within an hour of the show being over, so you should be able to find it there. Ongoing drama on Capitol Hill. Will there or won't there be an infrastructure vote? We have been following it for some time. Yesterday, Jen Psaki was asked what exactly was going on, and she reached into the pop culture universe to describe what was going to happen. It was either going to be, for those of you out there who have enjoyed either of these programs, I like them both, West Wing, or one of the darkly most comedic shows that has ever aired, Veep. I loved it. Here is that clip.
This is why we all came to Washington. It's like an episode of a TV show.
It's a TV show. Yeah.
Maybe the West Wing, if something good happens. Maybe Veep, if not. I'm not sure.
That's actually pretty funny, I have to say.
The West Wing is such, like, saccharine, liberal fantasyland nonsense. You know, in every West Wing episode, it's like, you know, oh, there's the evil right wing guy, and then there's like the liberals come together, like, oh, we're just gonna.
But do you like Aaron Sorkin, or do you not like Aaron Sorkin?
Oh, I cannot handle the. I got through like
not even just the West Wing, but I mean, he's, you know, did you like
the Social Network? Is good for what it is. It's an entertaining movie for what it is. What else are his big ones?
A Few Good Men is phenomenal.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
I like that movie.
I mean, I think he's a pretty...
I can handle the truth, Clay.
So. I think he's a pretty pretty entertaining writer, and he's an incredible talent to be able to produce as much original content as he has. Did you watch Veep?
I've seen... Is that Aaron Sorkin?
No, but she was just saying on both of those
ends. Yeah, I've seen some of Veep. It's funny.
Oh, Veep is... It's funny. I think hysterical. One of the funniest shows, but line for line, that's the Julia Louis-Dreyfus is the vice president, and basically... She's an incompetent politician surrounded by an incompetent political staff. It's a little bit like what we've got going on right now.
I was
going to
say, I bet there's some references over at the Naval Observatory or Naval Residence, I mean, and the vice president's residence and that whole situation.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus might not be as incompetent as Kamala Harris, to be honest. We didn't even talk about this. Her nodding along to the Israel criticism. Like, I mean, she is just a disaster, everything that she does.
But that's the classic. When someone is a leftist, other leftists will always just say your voice. The thing that they will say that they believe gives them leeway is, yeah, your voice needs to be heard. This is always, that's a classic. That's like when the professor has to, you know, pat somebody on the back who's saying something really stupid in class, but clearly on board for the left-wing nonsense. Your voice needs to be heard. That was what Kamala Harris was saying to the woman who was talking about, I don't know, divesting Israel or something. Oh, no, Iron Dome, because the Israelis shouldn't be able to shoot missiles out of the sky.
Basically,
they're trying to kill everybody.
Accusing Israelis of genocide, which has become kind of a significant component to the Democratic platform now, Buck.
It's more than one that's calling for stuff that's really scary over there. All right. Look, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation team might be small in size, but they have the capacity to remember every name of every fallen hero and veteran of our war on terror that needs assistance. This past weekend, as an example, the finish line of their 5K walk-in run in New York City included the names of 353 firefighters and first responders who lost their lives on 9/11. That was 20 years ago. And while they're committed to never forgetting, they're also helping families and those in need that have fought the war on terrorism. We spoke of a Marine, Scott Noakes, and his bravery in defending our country with two tours of duty at a young age. He suffered life-altering injuries, losing both his eyesight and his ability to walk. Tunnel to Towers Foundation is providing him with a specially built home with the help of your donations. There are many heroes like Corporal Noakes who need your help. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. Thanks for rolling along with us here on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, Alabama edition, down here in the city of Birmingham. I'm going to go explore some of downtown tonight, so if you're in the area, by all means, come say hello. And Clay and I are going tomorrow to the Alabama Ole Miss game. And Clay, I'm supposed to yell, "Roll Tide," right? That is an accurate, that is a thing that I should be saying. That is the...
That no? is the no. Well, I mean, yes,
is that correct?
Certainly.
Right?
Yeah. Well, you have to be careful in the state of Alabama, because we were just talking to a lot of the staff in here, and one of the things you're learning from a cultural perspective is in the South, long before you would ever consider where you might go for college, 5, 6, 7 years old, you have an allegiance. And in the state of Alabama, one of the first things they ask is War Eagle or Roll Tide. You're either an Auburn fan and you say War Eagle to everybody as a greeting, or you're an Alabama fan and you say Roll Tide to everybody as a greeting. And this is not Alabama is obsessed with college football more than any part of America is obsessed with any sport.
You go look at television ratings. On the love for the football here in a way that.
And it's not just, you know, it's not necessarily the NFL, though people watch sports and love sports in the city, Birmingham, which is the biggest city here, but the whole state is obsessed with college football, any game of college football, in a way that no other part of America is obsessed with any other sport.
I keep getting messages sent to me from people listening to the show, and the recurring theme is you are being spoiled if this is your first ever college football game. And this is kind of like your first NFL game going to see the Super Bowl. You know, that seems to be the attitude, at least in terms of the pageantry and the vibe, the feel around all this. So I'm excited to experience it.
Ole Miss people can throw unbelievable parties, right? One of the taglines of Ole Miss football is we may lose the game, but we've never lost a party. So they are right now ascending up with Lane Kiffin as their coach. So there's a great deal of excitement and optimism among them. And so I think you're going to walk in tomorrow and there are going to be a lot of our listeners there. In fact, the whole stadium. I mean, remember, everybody was going after Trump and how he would go to a sporting event and everybody would boo. When Trump was here, my 11-year-old was talking about it when he came in, because the last game we went to at Alabama was a great LSU-Alabama game in 2019. Trump was in a suite, and when they put him on the Jumbotron, the stadium went crazy. It didn't get shared by the media because they wanted Trump getting booed. But when the entire stadium, when they put him on the Jumbotron, they start chanting USA, the entire stadium roars for his approval. That whole stadium is wheelhouse our listenership, and for somebody like you who lives in New York City and has to constantly be dodging all the left-wing loons, you're going to be among your people tomorrow.
I'm excited for it, and we want to be among you now on the phone lines. That was smooth.
What a transition. That's why you're a radio pro.
282-2882, that's the phone number to call into, 800-282-2882. Please do give us a call because it is open line Friday. Another thing about being down here is that I get to walk around the hotel. We're going to go downtown. Not a lot of masks and certainly not a lot of paranoia about it. I have not seen a single person here walking outside with a mask on. I haven't seen a single person acting like at any point in time COVID is going to jump out from behind a dumpster and attack them or something, right?
There's just
much more of an acceptance of we are moving forward with life. Back in NYC, which for all of its challenges, I do miss. Back in NYC, or I do still like, I should say. I don't miss it. I'm happy to be here. Mayor Bill de Blasio is talking about the vaccine mandate lawsuits that he faces. And here's what he's saying about them. Play 14.
Here's the bottom line. Had we not done the mandate, a lot of people would have held back and our schools would have been less safe and our city would have been less safe. And there's so much noise when you put a mandate forward. But whether it's the one we did for schools or the one we did for indoor dining, the bottom line is when the dust settled, a huge number of people went out and got vaccinated. And then those environments became safe. And what I hear from New Yorkers is, thank you that we know what we're dealing with now. We know we have environments where we're not going to have the same problem with COVID because it's an all vaccinated reality.
You know, Clay, today is the deadline for New York City teachers to get vaccinated or get their walking papers fired. And remember, no unemployment benefits for you if you get fired.
Despite the fact that everybody else has gotten unemployment benefits for over a year now without even trying to find a job.
Yeah, so don't find a job or don't even look for a job. You could have been getting unemployment benefits for a year plus. But here we have de Blasio, I think, taking away a lesson here that you're going to see play out in other places across the country. Authoritarians enjoy it when they get away with it, and we'll keep doing it. That's the problem. This is a little bit of a continuation of the mandate worked. Yeah. No duh. When you tell people get the shot or you lose your job, get the shot or you can't go into a restaurant, a bar or whatever, people who don't want to and who don't need to medically, by the way, for those of us with the natural immunity, they're going to comply. But that doesn't justify the tyrannical impulse. Unfortunately, to people like Bill de Blasio, they feel like mission accomplished. And the people who have lost their jobs, including healthcare workers that were on the front lines of fighting the pandemic, They just feel like too bad.
And I want to, when we come back, Buck, because what I'm seeing is a response to the COVID vaccine mandate that's starting to really encourage me. And let me explain what I mean. And we'll play some of this for you when we come back. People from all across the political spectrum are starting to stand up and say that the COVID vaccine mandates are anti-American. Whether it is, and interestingly, some of the people that are leading this charge are NBA players. We talked about Jonathan Isaac. We talked about Bradley Beal earlier in the week. Draymond Green plays for the Golden State Warriors, and he's got a teammate who is refusing to get the COVID vaccine. That would mean, based on San Francisco rules, that he is not able to play in any home game. He's not able to do his job. He is saying that he does not want to get the COVID vaccine for health-related reasons that are personal to him. Draymond Green, who is an NBA superstar, was asked about that. It's already been shared by Ted Cruz and LeBron James, which is kind of a big deal because those guys don't agree on a lot. I think a lot of our listeners are going to hear this and they're going to say, thankfully, maybe people with some functional brains are starting to make reasonable statements. I want you guys to hear this and think about it because, Buck, I think it's going to be intriguing to see some of these political allies right. who otherwise would not be connected.
It's a lot harder for the media to do what they've been doing.
Yes, to demonize.
To misrepresent and demonize anybody with vaccine hesitancy, not anti-vaxxers,
yes.
but vaccine hesitancy or just vaccine opposition when it comes to COVID, when you're talking about a prominent African-American
as
celebrity
to,
multimillionaire who is
as
speaking,
opposed to a redneck Trump voter in Alabama, which is what they want to try to make it look like everybody who is not 100% behind the COVID vaccine
is. It's complicated when your narrative is built on lies, but you know, that's a reality of what the left has to deal with. Privacy should be high on your list of priorities when it comes to being online. Like high internet speeds, right? We like that stuff. We like access to information. You can have all of that without having to give up your online privacy. But you need to be using an online virtual private network, a VPN, and the best one out there by far is ExpressVPN. When you run ExpressVPN on your device, the software hides your IP address, which goes a long way in making you anonymous online. ExpressVPN makes your activity harder to trace, and it gives you another layer of privacy and encrypts 100% clear of your internet data to keep you safe from hackers.
And it's also rated ExpressVPN as the number one VPN service by CNET and TechRadar. So easy to use. In fact, you can download the ExpressVPN app on your phone or computer, tap one button, boom, you're protected. Right now, you can visit expressvpn.com/Clay and Buck. That's expressvpn.com/Clay and Buck for 3 extra months free. One more time, expressvpn.com/Clay and Buck. Go there right now to sign up and learn more. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us as we roll through second hour of the program. About to roll into the final hour of the week. We appreciate all of you hanging out with us. And there's some breaking news out there, Buck, continuing, unfortunately, the COVID totalitarianism in the state of California. Governor Gavin Newsom has just announced that all children will be required to get the COVID vaccine who are eligible for the COVID vaccine. Right now, kids 12 and up can get it, but that is the first state to mandate the COVID vaccine for kids, to my knowledge.
And let's just remember that the FDA is being pushed to work as fast as possible to expand the vaccines for even younger kids.
5 to 11, potentially younger.
And so that's where this is heading. And we've been saying it all along. They're going to make kids in states that are blue get the shot. And once they've done that, then they're going to try to find a way at the federal level. They'll probably even threaten Department of Education funding to certain states. They're going to start to play really rough to put the shot in your kids' arms.
Now, ironically enough, politics can create strange bedfellows. And we have been talking about NBA players speaking out against COVID vaccine mandates. We played several of those clips earlier this week. Draymond Green is a famous player for the Golden State Warriors in San Francisco. He has a teammate who is refusing to get the COVID vaccine and would therefore be ineligible to play in San Francisco, would not be able to do his job. Draymond Green was asked by the media whether he felt he should be pressuring his teammate to get the COVID vaccine. I want you guys to listen to this and think about how much you may well agree with Draymond Green. Again, Ted Cruz is retweeting this, LeBron James. I got into it with Mark Cuban yesterday, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, on social media. Some of you may have seen that. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit in the next hour. But listen to Draymond Green here. Let's play cut 25.
You know, I think there is something to be said for people's concern about something that's being pressed so hard. Like, why are you pressing this so hard? Like, so much, you're just pressing and pressing and pressing. I think you have to honor people's feelings and their own personal beliefs. And I think that's been lost when it comes to vaccinated and non-vaccinated. And it kind of sucks that that's been lost because you're essentially not giving anyone, you say we live in a land of the free. Well, you're not giving anyone freedom because you're making people do something essentially without necessarily making them. You're making them do something. And that goes against everything that America stands for or supposedly stands for. And so I'm not in any position to go tell him what he should or should not be doing. And I, as a leader of this team, I'm not going to go to him and say, hey, man, we really need, no, the hell, you do what you feel you want to do. That has nothing. I'm not going to go and ask him, did he get a polio vaccine? So why would I go ask him if he got a COVID vaccine?
This is the now third NBA player we've heard from this week, Clay, who is more thoughtful and eloquent on the freedom concerns, the issues that vaccine mandates raise, than I think any Democrat member of Congress that I've heard. I mean, and I mean any of them. They're all just whatever Fauci says, we go
hammer,
along
hammer,
whatever,
hammer.
Just go with the coercion, shut up and get the shot. You know, Fauci just sort of slipped this in. I think it was yesterday. You know, now you're not really fully vaccinated. But I've been saying this for a month, 6 weeks now. You're not really fully vaccinated that term unless you've gotten the booster. But what's fascinating about that is once they, Fauci's already said this, he said, you know, fully vaccinated is with a booster. And until you, or the moment that you cross that Rubicon, then you realize you're never fully, there's no such thing as fully vaccinated. You are temporarily vaccinated until it is time for your next booster shot. The moment they agree that a booster is required for you to be back, because no one thinks that this is permanent. There's no belief, there's no reason to think, and especially with variants and all the rest of it. So get ready for the transition to forever boosters, because that's already here.
And what I think is fascinating about this, Buck, is I think a lot of these NBA players are having a moment of realization here as it concerns authoritarianism connected to COVID vaccine mandates, that maybe they're actually Republicans, or at a minimum, maybe they are actual libertarians with a lot of overlap with many of you listening right now. And I know a lot of you are saying, well, I don't really understand that, but think about it in the context of what these guys do. They excel based on their individual talent, based on their ability to get their bodies to do things that most people cannot. They excel in their minds because of the work ethic that they put in to their body in order to make them capable of performing. So when you start telling them you have to do this, there is a difference between, hey, we encourage you to do this, and mandating it from a vaccine perspective. And I think you said it well, Buck. Many of these NBA players have been more eloquent, nuanced, and intelligent analyzing the societal impact of COVID vaccine mandates than the vast majority of elected politicians on the Democratic side of the aisle. And frankly, the vast majority, I would say, of elected Democrat and Republican politicians. Because a lot of people have not been able to talk about this in any type of nuance or intelligent fashion.
We got to dive into the California statewide mandate for school children 12 and up. Because this is big, and this is California actually getting out ahead of even other blue states on this issue, which we had been anticipating for a while. But we also got open line Friday in effect. So we want to take a couple of your calls. Brad in Portsmouth, Arkansas. Brad, how you doing?
Good. How about you?
We're good. Thanks. What's going on?
Oh, I just think that we can't count on the government to stop all these people coming up across our border. It's about time that we, the people that it was talking about, shows up, and we need about 100,000 people down at the border with a no vacancy sign to stop these people from coming across our border before we lose our country altogether.
Well, you know what stinks, and I just want to keep emphasizing this, Trump had stopped it. You know, people want to criticize Trump like crazy, the Democrats do, over what was going on at the border. Buck, you know better than most because you've been down to the border, you've traveled down there, you've seen it with your own eyes. The policies that Donald Trump put in place helped to secure our southern border more so than has happened in decades.
He looked at the incentive structure for illegal crossing, and they changed the
incentives. Which is what a businessman would do.
Which is what you would do if you were looking at a profit loss statement. Brad, thanks for calling in from Arkansas. Quickly, before we got to go to hour three, Anna in Grand Junction, Colorado. Hey, Anna.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
We're great.
Excellent.
Okay. Before I became a cancer survivor, I was a regular blood donor at our local hospital. And I'm curious now, because I don't donate anymore, and I can't find an answer, is if the blood banks are screening for donors that have been vaccinated.
Yes, thank you. Sorry for vaccination. I'm not sure, but I know they are screening for COVID antibodies. And if you donate blood, I have been told, at least I'm not sure it's going on exact this moment. For a long time, they've been telling you if you test positive for COVID antibodies.
Thanks for calling in, Anna. If you folks stay with us, we're going to dive into this breaking news about California requiring kids 12 and up in all schools to get the shot. And also the latest on the Fauciite madness. Do we have an update for you on the trillions of dollars in the budget battle? Pelosi said it was happening today on the infrastructure. We'll see. All coming up.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.